You're listening to Insight Live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Aspiring musicians perform in a number of competitions every year. An important event, hosted by classical pianist Laura Downs, happens this weekend on the Mondavi stage in Davis. It's the Young Artists National Competition. It's now in its 15th year, with thousands of dollars of scholarship money, and the competitors are ages 12 to 17 years old. A showcase featuring the finalists in cello, piano, and mixed instruments is Friday night. The onstage competition is Saturday, and then Saturday night, the winner's concert. So Laura Downs herself just released a new album titled Holes in the Sky. It's a beautiful project. It features collaborations with prominent women, including Judy Collins, Rachel Barton Pine, and Rhiannon Giddens. Laura talked with CAP Radio's classical host Kevin Doherty recently about the project and how she was inspired.
It goes back to this collaboration I have with Rhiannon Giddens, and we were working together about a year and a half ago, I guess, on a different project, on my Bernstein project, and, you know, just hanging out in the studio, and we started talking about all these things that we really share as common interests and common passions. And I realized that a lot of it had to do with women in the history of music. You know, Florence Price, African-American musicians. We both have done so much work in sort of researching those stories, and we feel really connected to the music. So this project started as just a project for the two of us. In fact, when I look back in all my emails and planning documents, it used to be called the Laura and Rhiannon Project, which was not the greatest title. You know, so we started building this pile of music and ideas, and before I knew it, it was leading outwards in so many different directions. And I realized that really the story I wanted to tell was a story about the history of women in music, the impact of women in music, the past, present, and future of women in music, and a broad landscape of what that means.
You say in your liner notes that you got the title of this brand new album that you just released from a quote by artist George O'Keefe, and I'll read it real quick. I want real things, live people to take hold of, to see and talk to, music that makes holes in the sky. I want to love as hard as I can. It's really great imagery. I'm curious, what does holes in the sky mean?
I mean, to me, it just means sort of infinite possibility, you know, and also something about power and the power of art, the power of creativity to you know, blow things open. For me, Georgia O'Keeffe has always been one of those women in the history books who really just represents, you know, that kind of maverick sensibility, those people along the way in every generation, you know, back through the centuries, who just did things her own way, far outside of the context of her time. And when I read that quote and I sort of thought about what she must have been envisioning at the time that she was writing those words, she was writing to her best friend. She was still quite young, and she was just, you know, envisioning her future. And I thought, you know, all of those images in that quote to me just have to do with the ability, well, as a woman, as a human being, right, to allow yourself to dream so big and to, you know, dream so big in the context of your creativity and your own voice and your own vision.
Would you say that this is the most personal album for you, one of the most personal projects that you've created?
I guess as I go along, yeah, things just keep kind of drilling inwards, maybe. Instead of paying for therapy, I do this, and then other people pay me, so it's nice. But no, you know, all of these projects touch on different aspects, I think. Yes, possibly because I've realized some things in the making of this album, you know, that go all the way back with me through my whole life on this planet, you know, growing up as a little girl and a young woman and a woman and as an artist, you know, it's who I am. And I think that my path through that has had really a lot to do with being female, because all parts of your identity inform who you are as an artist. When I trace back to the beginning, I realized that my first awareness of the wide world of music was completely male. You know, it always is, right? My first teacher was a woman, and she was wonderful, and in so many ways, I think, really cemented who I am today as an artist. But all of the people whose portraits were on the wall, all the people whose music I was playing, all the people who I went to see in the concert hall, they were all men. So I think at every step along the way, when I did discover someone in a position of authority or, you know, importance, who was female. Those were really important influences, from Clara Schumann to Marta Argerich to, you know, teachers I encountered to now my colleagues. It means a lot. And there's a lot in this music about who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are also, there are a lot of great collaborations on this album. Obviously familiar to classical audiences, Simona Dinerstein, Rachel Barton Pine, but one human who may be the most familiar to the most mass appeal of people, Judy Collins.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get Judy Collins to be on this album?
So I knew that one thing that was important to me, oh my gosh, I don't know how to start with this story. It's such a, there are so many layers to this story. But Judy is somebody who, you know, was one of the faces on the records, on the record shelf when I was a little girl. And, you know, I guess that those were important faces to see too, right? Billie Holiday, Judy Collins, Joan Baez. I remember them because there was a sea of other people like, you know, Frank Sinatra and the Beatles and all those guys. But more than that, Judy's just somebody who represents to me really everything that a woman can be in the world of music and really in the world at large. She's, you know, she's done so much as a musician. She's innovated so much as a musician. She's reached so many audiences as a musician. She's been so powerful as an activist and an advocate and, you know, just a stellar human being. So I wanted to represent the voice of that generation on this album very much. And also she has a dirty little secret, which some people don't know, which is that she was a classical pianist at the beginning. That's how she started. So I just thought, you know, why not? And I started writing about, you know, what I was doing and why I thought it would be really cool if she'd do it with me. And I wrote off this long email and I sent it, you know, care of her manager. And then I didn't hear back for a few months. And then I did. And she was excited about the idea. So we went into the studio together and recorded Albatross, which is one of the very first songs that she wrote, you know, back in the 60s, in a brand new arrangement that I think really does fold in her background as a classical pianist.
Many people wander up the hills from all around you, making up your memories and thinking they have found you. They cover you with veils of wonder as if you were a bride. Young men holding violets are curious to know if you have cried, and tell you why and ask you why. Anyway, you answer. Lace around the collars of the blouses of the ladies, flowers from a Spanish friend of the family.
It was magical, and she sounds extraordinary, and it's, yeah, one of the highlights of now and ever, I think, for me.
Yeah, she really does. Her voice is timeless. It really is. It just sounds so great. What's your reaction when, after a couple months, you get that email back from Judy Collins saying, yeah, I'll do it?
I mean, I think I've learned by now that, you know, the greatest payoffs come from taking crazy risks. So I was just, you know, very, very happy. And by the time I did hear back from her, I was farther into the groove of making the record. So I knew more what it was going to be. And it was just perfect timing. And I think that probably also determined some other things about other pieces that fell in place afterwards. Because, you know, when you're putting together an album like this, you start with an idea, you start with maybe a few pieces of music. And then as things sort out, that shifts based on the sound world, you know, that gets created, the bigger story that gets told. So I think Judy's participation probably shaped some other ideas that came into place.
This album is so different across the board stylistically. There's so much going on here, and it's really, I find it very easy to listen to from track 1 to track 22. And I'm curious, like, what was it like making those puzzle pieces fit along the way?
Yeah, and that's always sort of a mysterious part of the process. And this record in particular, you know, I was moving around a lot because there are so many collaborators on the project and we're all so busy. So often, always, really, there was like one date in one city where we could connect. So I traveled from New York to Chicago to New Orleans to Raleigh, North Carolina to LA, you know, just to put everything together, record all the tracks. So then you've got this big pile of tracks. And then, of course, you don't listen to them again because you're moving around. And I think we ended up with, I don't know, 20-some tracks. Then you listen to them and sort of find the thread, right? And you find the point A and where it goes from there. And I like an album to have kind of an arc with a point in the middle. It's a really fun process, and it's also a collaborative process for me. So my producer and I work on that together, and I'm really happy with this album in that regard. I think that, yeah, you start and it takes you on this really lovely journey, and there are surprises along the way, but it feels very cohesive and full.
Yeah.
I think.
When you say an arc, I mean it's a journey. You're trying to tell a story through music, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah, I think so.
What's that point in the middle that you're talking about?
You know, actually, I think with this record, there's that new piece by Jennifer Higdon, Notes of Gratitude, which is, it's different than anything else on the album. It's a solo piano piece that uses some effects, some plucking around in the inside of the piano. It's a piece that has some drama to it. It's right around the halfway point, I think. That all of a sudden made a lot of sense. Also the message of it, you know, Notes of Gratitude. But yeah, I think that sort of takes you a little bit out of the comfort zone you've been in, maybe, right? And in a good way.
And I have to say personally, that's the piece that I find myself kind of coming back to on this album time and time again, and listening to it. Would you say, what I hear is just there's, with the plucking, it's almost like restraint and ready mm-hmm. to pop, and then you just mm-hmm. let go on the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that, about coming from that place of smallness and to just using the expanse of the 88 keys?
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, in a very physical sense, that's true, right? Because when you're doing the plucking, you know, you have to reach inside with one hand, and then you're very confined in a way. And all of a sudden the piano becomes a different instrument that you're not so used to. And you're listening really intently to the sounds, because Jennifer is very specific in the dynamics and the way that she wants those plucked tones to be. So it's this very, very focused, very concentrated effort. And then in the other sections where, you know, you've got access to all 88 keys, I think that there is this freedom to it.
What do you get from your collaborations with people who are, say, outside of the classical world? But you too, I mean, you work with so many different influences. How does that help you shape your music making?
All these collaborations are just letting me grow and find wings in some amazing ways. Putting this project together, working with all these different people, I think it's given me, I don't know that courage is the right word, but just like freedom, you know? Because when I go into the studio with Rhiannon, it's not like the place that I'm used to in classical music, where, you know, you practice really hard and you learn everything, and then you go in and you iron out some things together and you try to make a really beautiful performance for the ages of a piece of music that's been played a million times, right? No, we go into the studio and we just kind of look at each other and say, okay, you know, what are we going to do today? Let's try something new. And it's been that way in all of these sessions, honestly, just this kind of like, what is it, flying by the seat of your pants thing, you know, where you just sort of lean on each other, you listen a lot. Even with Judy, I mean, that was amazing to see somebody. How many times has she sung this song? But she came into the studio with me and recorded this song that she wrote 50 years ago. And we tried it all kinds of different ways. And, you know, something really, really beautiful came out of it. I'm trying to be careful because some of my best friends are men. But that's been one of the things about this project with women. I have found that we've gone into the studio and nobody has felt the need to really try to be careful. I'm looking at your face. No one has felt the need to kind of like be in charge or or show anyone else how anything is done. We just like kind of, you know, again, like just real listening and trusting. It's been fun.
Yeah, nobody's mansplaining is what you're trying to say. Totally fair. Well, there's a comfort zone there for you too, because you are the oldest of three sisters, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. I go back to the liner notes, right? Like you talk about. That's why I get that this is so personal, is because you're talking about spending these relationships that you have with women, and so to be able to do this.
Yeah, no, it really has been a labor of love, and deep, deep friendships have come out of this, and. Yeah, I grew up in a house of all women, and I think that is, you know, it's kind of the frequency that I hear very well. But it's just been, it's been fun and kind of funny too, you know, all of us working together, and you know, our whole lives get intertwined into the making of the music, right? You know, I'll get right back to you when the kids go to sleep, you know, and just, you know, we work at weird, odd hours. And, you know, Layla McCullough, for example, when I went down to New Orleans this summer to record the Billie Holiday tune with her, she had just had twins. You know, it was literally like the first time she was trying to do anything. And it was such a monumental thing to try to get somebody to stay with the twins so we could go into the studio for a couple of hours. And then, you know, we finished and she looked at me and she said, well, I've still got the sitter. So we went out had a few drinks. But, you know, it has been a very full and honest experience to work with all these ladies.
Laura Down's new album is Holes in the Sky. And by the way, happy birthday today to Laura Downs. The Mondavi Center Young Artists Competition begins Friday. There will probably be a birthday cake. Saturday and Saturday night are the finals and the final concert. We'll post a link with more information at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.
To fling my arms wide in some place in the sun.